Good evening. Usually I talk with you from my office in the West Wing of the White House, but tonight there's something special to talk about, and I've asked someone very special to join me. From the beginning of our administration, we've taken strong illegal drugs, smokable cocaine, otherwise known as crack. You've provided for us, of which we merely have temporary custody. Regular drug use is rebuilding our economy. Everyone's hooked on heroin, but we still have much to do. Drugs are a constant temptation for Nancy and I. Now we need your support again. Shortages of marijuana are now being reported. 37 federal agents are working together in a vigorous national effort to do something about this horror. Nancy has cut illegal drugs from 1 in 14 to 1 in 20. She has since traveled over 100,000 miles to 55 cities in 28 states and 6 foreign countries. To score drugs, she's given dozens of land
jobs.
I think you can see why Nancy has been such a cunt. It's especially the damn young people. They're undercutting our drug and alcohol abuse, menacing our society as a threat to our national security. In 4 years, the number of high school seniors using marijuana on a daily basis more than tripled from 1981 levels. Nearly $250 million of their assets cost you and your fellow Americans at least $60 billion a year. It's back to school time for America's teenagers. Our goal is just throwing money at the problem. To expand international drug trafficking will bring the federal commitment to drugs to $3 billion.
Thank you. I yearn to be on drugs, to enjoy life to the fullest, to see it in the vivid colors that God gave us as a precious gift to His children. Drug abuse is all that we know and all that we believe in. Of course, it makes me happy. This was one of the main purposes when I started with a cocaine habit.
The boat people will ensure that cocaine is coming in this evening. Few of us can give youngsters something as strong as smokable crack. Please don't let them down. Nancy's personal crusade should become our national crusade. It must include a combination of illegal drugs which complement one another.
So, won't you join us in this great new national crusade?
God bless you, and good night.
You're on the new merry-go-go-round.
It's the Louie Burquist Hit Parade. Weekly countdown of the top 10 hot hit singles reported on the Cashbird charts, sponsored in part by the Supply Side Rhythmic to Company, and I'm your host, Louie Burquist.
Hello, listeners, this is Louie Burquist, and welcome to the Louie Burquist Hit Parade, the weekly countdown of the top 10 hot hit singles reported by the Cash Boxes. Folks, tonight's program is dedicated to the greatest president ever to grace the silver screen. I'm talking, of course, about Mr. Ronald Reagan. But first, we're going to kick things off with some coffee, cookies, and nice dinners. Number 10 on the charts this week.
But if it keeps snowing, I want to bring some friends out and look at all the
weekends if you have to take off from work. Right then, save yourself, save yourself first. Save yourself, save yourself first. Do not save yourself.
On the charts this week is Human Television, In Front of the House. Folks, let's dip into those old-time radio archives this week and listen to another thrilling adventure from that classic science fiction serial, Tom Corbett, Space Cadet, sponsored by Pep Amphetamine Dietary Supplements.
Pep, I invite you to rocket into the future with Tom Corbett, Space Cadet. Blast off, minus five. 3, 2, 4, 0!
A sliver of light on the eastern horizon throws a soft glow on the long, sleek shape of the rocket patrol cruiser Polaris. Inside the gleaming spaceship, the three cadet members of its crew, Tom Corbett, Roger Manning, and Astro, are going through the routine.
As I was saying, when...
Hold it, Manning. Something's coming through the news facsimile receiver.
It's just a news bulletin. Space gas.
Now look, Roger.
Oh, don't mind, Roger. Tom, go ahead.
It has been less than a week since the space freighter LC Joe disappeared near the sun. Loaded with an invaluable cargo of nearly pure ship, already large quantities of the precious ship have appeared in the black market on Earth.
Is that what they call a new clue? What kind of double talk is that? We still don't know any more than when you started.
Nobody expects you to know anything, Bubblehead.
I wonder if they really have any leads.
I can answer that for you, gentlemen.
Captain Strong.
Why, these men. I see you've been reading the facsimile bulletin.
Yes, sir. They claim there's some fresh
ship. That's Strong's ship.
Yeah, there is. From a hiding place somewhere near the sun.
Well, sir, are they sure it's the same ship that was on the freighter?
Well, it has to be, Tom. The only quantity of the stuff that's unaccounted for is the load under our noses.
I still don't see how they pulled off that job.
It's pretty clear to me. That's why I picked that crazy course, took a ship so close to the sun.
Very good, Manning. That's the way Central Intelligence figures it.
Well, what are our orders, sir?
Is the Polaris going to try to track down that ship?
Right, Tom.
Yes, sir.
Good.
Stand by for a party.
Yes. That's our baby, all right. Prepare to blast off. Astro, give me full space speed. Manning, keep the fix at top speed.
We'll return in just a moment. Stand by. Spaceman, suppose you were blasting off to the outer planets. You'd make sure you had enough rocket fuel to get you there to help keep you strong and healthy. Now listen to what Tom Corbett says about that.
Before each trip, our locker on the Polaris is well stocked with pep, spaceman. And you can bet it's just about empty by the time we get back. Pep, pep helps to keep the whole crew supplied with the values everybody needs to build up strength. And to keep up strength. So if you want to stay in trim, the way the space cadets do, take a tip from me. Start your day the spaceman's way. With pep.
And spaceman. P-E-P. Pep. While on patrol duty in space, the rocket cruiser Polaris attempts to intercept ship hijacked from a government freighter.
We can't even get a fix anymore.
It's incredible.
Well, we'll have to find a way.
Well, if we could isolate that ship, might be able to shoot her.
That's what I had in mind, Roger.
Rocket ship Orion, calling the Polaris.
Here comes something, Captain. We read you, Ryan. Go ahead.
I just spotted the speed.
Thanks, Ryan. Keep us posted. Spaceman's luck. End transmission.
Sir, with their report and ours, I think I've got a fix.
All right, men.
Well, Captain Strong, that's that. It looks like a clean pipe.
Say, Astro, let me see that space chart again.
Here you are, sir.
That ship was headed toward the sun, right, Manning?
Yes, sir. Not far from where the ship was hijacked.
At the present time, the sun lies directly between us and only one other planet.
Mercury.
Right, Tom.
Well, that makes sense to me.
Sure.
Sounds right. That's where we're going to have a look.
If I'd have known this, I'd have worn underwear.
Cut your jets, Roger. This is serious business.
Any reaction, Tom?
Not yet, Captain. Ah, here we are. In small quantities.
Good. We've located base. Tom, what about that source?
Well, we're somewhere within 1,000 yards of it, sir.
How are we going to find it?
On foot, Roger. All right, men, break out the pressurized suits.
Right, sir. Let's go, fellas.
And Tom.
Yes, sir?
And break out that special K2. We'd better take it along with us.
Right.
I'll take that. Now, without this junk, we wouldn't survive more than 5 minutes.
All right, men.
Still no sign of anything. We must be within a few yards of it.
Very neat. Well, the ship must be concealed around here somewhere, too. Probably underground. In this darkness,
I'm starting to feel cold.
You're space happy, Roger.
Hey, I don't feel exactly warm myself.
I'm beginning to feel cold myself. Conked out.
I hate to admit it, but I feel it, too. We'll freeze to death.
We'll return to the exciting adventures of Tom Corbett, Space Cadet, in just a moment. So stand by. You get a magic eye free at no extra cost in every package of Pep. How would you like to see William Holden, star of Paramount Pictures, beating down the main line? Well, there's a magic eye that shows you just that. Why, there's even a magic eye showing tennis star Bobby Riggs. You want to collect all 16 different magic eyes, so start now. Remember, you get a magic eye free at no extra cost in every package of Pep. P-E-P. Pep.
Four figures huddled together. For a moment, they remain motionless in stunned realization of their plight. Captain Strong forces himself.
I've got to get it open. I'm numb.
Here, there's one for you, Astro. And I've got one, too.
It can save our lives. My fingers. They're so stiff, I can hardly move them. Yes, I've got it. I've got mine, too. Oh, my feet.
It won't last too long.
My ears feel like they're going to drop off.
So we'll be all right soon. Roger. Astro, lie down on the ground here.
Did you say lie down, sir?
Yes, as though you'd collapsed. Come on, now.
Just what I was hoping they'd do. Now we can move in behind them. Come on, Tom.
I'm with you, sir.
Don't miss the next action-packed adventure with Tom Corbett, Space Cadet, in an interplanetary space tournament. Brought to you by Pep.
Jackson Beck speaking.
numero siete on the charts this week is Los Shakers with No Me Pidas Amor. Louis Burke was still with you here on the charts, steering you in the proper course, just like our friend Ronald Reagan did when he won the Star Wars. Folks, let's go ahead and take a Hollywood tour right now with my good friend Cal York.
Do you want to meet Andy Russell? Do you want to see a studio preview? Do you want to take a Hollywood tour? Yes, the American Broadcasting Company presents Hollywood Tour, a program for Photoplay Magazine's ace news reporter, Cal York. Here in the most exclusive broadcast to originate in Hollywood, we're making it possible to see homes of stars and the high spots of the town. Each day, we name three popular motion picture stars whose last name is Scott. Now, I'll bet you at home don't know. Right now, I want you to meet the two lovely ladies who took our Hollywood tour yesterday. Mrs. Larry Graver, recently of New York. Do anything fascinating there?
In the Bronx? No, just sat around.
Seems a reasonable occupation. My second lady is Mrs. Curtis Jackson of Englewood. What do you do in Englewood, Mrs. Jackson?
Shop.
You do? Do you have any babies?
Oh, I have three of them.
Oh, then you know all about it, don't you? Shopping and babies. We've had Gail Patrick and Benny Barnes in our program. Ladies, after our broadcast yesterday, you were on your way to the famous Brittingham's restaurant to have Lum and Abner.
I think I just out-talked him this time.
So you were comparing notes on boys?
Yes, boys, and we were discussing the fact they're so dreamy, and he said that that'll pass someday, but I don't know.
He may be a little backward. Well, you know, I think that the audience sometimes gets the wrong impression of people. You were on your way to Universal International Studios to watch the filming of Jeopardy. And whom did you see there, Mrs. Graver?
Oh, we saw Vincent Price.
Mm-hmm.
And not very much.
Tell me, Mrs. Jackson, what was your impression of Vincent Price?
Well, I was really very surprised. He was a pretty nasty man on an errand. I really was shocked.
You were honestly surprised, and we've known that all along. I think that's a secret, but we might be able to describe what it looked like.
Oh, I...
Natural and unassuming. I know the ladies would like to know.
Well, it looked very pretty, with a big olive stuck on top.
Mm-hmm.
It really looked lovely, just like an Easter bonnet.
I've never sunk my teeth in an Easter bonnet.
Oh, I talked about mine, too.
Well, now, what sort of part do you say? A box?
They were very busy making their own sound effects, and I thought they were just... like we're playing house or having a good time.
Well, may I say that you're both just as casual. Thank you very much for your reporting job and for being my guest. And before you go, for each of you,
you will receive the next 12 issues of Photoplay Magazine.
Thank you.
Ladies, if you'd like to join us here on Hollywood Tour, here's all you have to do. Please be patient. If you can't be here in person... And now, Cal, what's going on today in Hollywood?
Well, Dresser, it's the Mickey Rooneys who have friends holding their breath. There is some indication that the divorce may be called off. Linda Darnell has not given up her plans for a second honeymoon. Even though I personally would consider it a real pleasure to be nudged by Mickey Rooney's bumper, a lovely little family scene took place at Enterprise the other day. Director George Seaton, fed up with the airs assumed by one of the child actors in Miracle on 34th Street, finally exploded. Come here, you. I'm going to applaud you with one hand. And yet in utter defiance, Jack Carson immerses himself in a bubble bath for two guys from Texas. Hedy Lamarr and husband John Loder will make love to each other publicly during the Utah Centennial festivities. Expected to do startling things. Although Mickey Rooney may deny this.
I don't deny a thing, Cal.
Well, we've got an idea. Ladies, here he is, Mickey Rooney.
What do you know?
There's a hint for all actors. Grow your own. But what's your secret for controlling those rough autograph fans in New York?
Well, most people run from them like a horse. If he knows you're afraid of him, he'll take advantage of you. And we let him in backstage 5 or 10 at a time. It's hard work, but I find it's paid off.
Ah, yes. From an armored car, of course. It's a fine thing. But, Andy, have you told them?
Why, those little love scenes.
That's not what I mean, and you know it.
Oh, Cal, do I have to talk about that?
Somebody's got to explain it to those kids.
I didn't like any one of them, and, well, first they decided I had too much hair.
Uh-huh, the Yanks came. face worse than dying.
Oh, boy, they took me into a beauty shop and turned me out bright red. Cal, it was really awful. I sneaked home and hid out all weekend.
My heart bleeds for you.
Well, don't let me detain you.
I'll be sure to catch you on the hit parade, too, Andy. And thanks a lot, Andy Rooney's.
Thank you.
And now, the news that you've been waiting to hear. Take your choice. The first two ladies who answered these questions correctly will step into a shining Tanner Gray Line limousine and be on their way to tea with Mickey Rooney and Sinbad at Shuggy's, noted for its exotic atmosphere. But now it's time to announce the winners. I'll take my traveling mic and go out into the audience to congratulate the lucky ladies. My first winner is Mrs. Jack Wilder. Where are you, Mrs. Wilder? Stick up your mitt. Have you ever seen a studio preview?
No.
Where you live?
Los Angeles.
Oh, I hope you speak a lot louder than that tomorrow, Mrs. Wilder, when we get together again. And my second winner is Mrs. Teresa Dwyer. Where are you from?
Mount Pleasant, Pennsylvania.
Well, how long have you been in Hollywood?
Oh, since Thursday.
Have you seen anything exciting yet?
Yes, I have.
Good. What have you seen?
Well, I've seen the night spots.
The night spots? Well, you're going to see the day spots today and have a good time, too. And I know your ladies are going to have a really swell time. Be sure that you're back here tomorrow to tell us all about it. I'll be looking for you, and I'll be looking for you, too, Mrs. Housewife. Right now, I have a date with Lassie. I'll see you tomorrow. So long.
If you've enjoyed hearing Cal York today, if you can't be here in person, Dresser Dalstead speaking. This program came to you from Hollywood.
It's heard over most of these same ABC stations. This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.
Sat beside me, I could see the scratches on your knees.
consideration for the Louis Berquist Hit Parade is provided in part by Goldman Sachs, proud supporters of trickle-down economics.
Welcome back, listeners. Louis Berquist hanging a 5-0 with y'all's up in my crib tonight. As I mentioned earlier in the program, tonight we're celebrating the legacy of the greatest president in the history of mankind. I'm talking, of course, about the Gimp himself, Mr. Ronald Reagan, the only man who could beat the Contras in Iraq, get Stalin to tear down the Great Wall of China, stop inflation, and balance the budget. Why, listeners...
Louis.
This better be goddamn important.
Louis, everything you just said there was completely wrong.
How dare you, Don Lusky? I know we've worked together for many a year, and while we may have had the occasional difference of opinion, I will not have you slander the tipper. Why, if it hadn't been for Reagan making things right with the banks when he was president, then Wall Street would have never been able to bail us out like they did.
Louis, we all know damn well the only reason you like Reagan was because Nancy could strip the chrome off a trailer hitch. Well?
She also made a really good Singapore sling.
She still want to do this then, or what?
Listeners, this is where it all begins.
Ladies and gentlemen, we take pride in Ronald Reagan, Mr. Reagan.
Thank you and good evening. Like most television programs, the performer has been provided with a script. As a matter of fact, the sponsor has been permitted to choose my words regarding the choice that we face in the next few weeks. We've never had it so good. We've raised our debt limit 3 times in the last 12 months. Today, 37 cents out of every dollar earned in this country is the collector's share. We haven't balanced our budget 28 out of the last 34 years. We don't own an ounce, and we've just had an ounce that should be maintained indefinitely. History will record with the greatest astonishment that those who had the most to lose did the least to prevent its happening. Not too long ago, two friends of mine were talking to a Cuban refugee, a man who had escaped from Castro in his long climb from the swamp to the stars. And in the midst of his story, one of my friends turned to the other and said, "We have $15 billion in gold in our treasury." And the Cuban stopped and said, "How lucky you are." And in that sentence, he told us the entire story. You and I are told increasingly we have to choose between a left or right. Well, I'd like to suggest we abandon the American Revolution and confess there is no such thing as a left or right. The Constitution is outmoded. The president is our moral teacher and our leader through the full power of centralized government. This was the very thing the Founding Fathers sought to minimize, this antiquated document. We see such spectacles as in Cleveland, Ohio. They have 120,000 housing units they've taken back through mortgage foreclosure. Friends of mine there have over $30 million on deposit in personal savings in their banks. We've never had it so good. See a fat man standing beside a thin one. The fat man got that way by taking advantage of the thin one. Well, that was probably true. They were all on a diet, poverty-stricken on the basis of earning less than $3,000 a year. We can send them to Harvard for $2,700. Not too long ago, a judge called me here in Los Angeles. He told me, "We're now going to solve the dropout problem, juvenile delinquency. Barry Goldwater thinks we can. If Barry Goldwater became president, he would stop the advance of juvenile delinquency in the United States. I think that's exactly what he will do. They've come to the end of the road. I have spent most of my life as a Democrat. Liberalism is meeting the material needs of the masses. The trouble with our liberal friends is that they're ignorant. Barry Goldwater, as president, would seek to eliminate farmers. Is he the brash and shallow and trigger-happy man they say he is? Well, I've been privileged to know him when. And I can tell you personally, I've never known a man in my life I believe so incapable. This is a man who, in his own business, before he entered politics, he took 50% of the profits before taxes. He'll forget his evil ways and learn to love us. Barry Goldwater is the bomb. Thank you very much.
You're on the new merry-go-go-round.
Ladies and gentlemen, muffle the children and listen to Open Madhouse at the Smiths of San Fernando. Ever been to Sherman Oaks?
Would you repeat that question, please?
Never heard of them? A suburb of Hollywood? Then get acquainted. It all began 9 years ago. Toothaches and tummy aches, axes to grind. Well, that gives you an idea of what you can expect at the Smiths, even if they do live in Sherman Oaks. Oh, yes, and a baby. Usually, that's the end of the story. Like when Uncle Cecil arrives. William Makepeace Smith, Sherman Oaks, California. Will arrive today. Signed, Uncle Cecil.
Oh, Bill, you idiot. Get back upstairs and put something on.
But I've got a towel on. Oh, I pity the man that marries you. You're just like your mother. En garde.
show.
All right, you two. Psst, Mom, wipe the soap off.
I say, madam, you're frothing at the mouth.
Oh, no, I was just in the middle of shaving.
Shaving? Madam, are you trying to start an argument? I say, what's that hissing in there?
Oh, that's just my husband boiling over.
Amazing place, sir. The half-shaven women, hissing sounds from the kitchen.
Pop hasn't any clothes on.
Yes, well, that's fortunate for you, isn't it? Yes, they deserve a child like you.
Got a telegram for your old man.
He's in the kitchen. No, better give it to me.
Anyway, I guess it's for your old man. The office finally figured out it must be your old man. I gotta deliver a wire to Ann Sheridan. See you later.
That Sheridan. What's she got not to be found in me?
Quite a lot.
Brenda, read this wire. Ooh. Uncle Cecil's coming.
Uncle Cecil is here.
No, not yet, but... Oh, I... Pardon my undress. I do, dope.
The eight ball.
Bumps.
That sort of rot.
Dorothy Lamour can get away with it. I can.
Yes.
Oh, he hunts tigers.
Hello, up John and Abercrombie's Waxworks. We do floors, apples, and mustaches. Up John and Abercrombie are out waxing fluently. This is Snodgrass listening.
I'm sorry, I was calling the William Smith residence.
Oh, Miss Lamour. I'm sorry, I...
Oh, Bill, you're such a clown. I've been meaning to call you for weeks, but I've been so busy. I'm in a terrible jam. I wonder if you could help me. Could I drop over and see you this afternoon? Well, I'll see you this afternoon.
Miss Lamour, very upset about something.
What?
She didn't say.
She's coming over to poison me so
listen,
that you two...
Listen, Stoop, if I could land Miss Lamour's legal business, I could buy you that fur coat that I'd forbidden you to nag me about.
Why, Bill Smith?
Miss Lamour is always in the process of being married or divorced or sued.
Or dying.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no. She's, why, don't be ridiculous. She's going with that cowboy actor.
Every man is.
Don't pass the buck.
Sabotage, that's what it is. Well, I'll show you.
Yikes!
One.
Oh!
Two.
Oh, I'll turn black and blue.
Three. Five. Well, what about four? I'll have to start all over. One. Two.
Oh, no.
Three.
Darling, oh, the old girl been giving you a spot of trouble?
Oh, we were just...
Oh, don't stop on my account, old boy. You know the old adage, a woman, a dog, and a walnut tree. The more you beat them, the better they be. So carry on, old boy, carry on, cheerio.
When you want to beat dents into a woman's head, start from the rear.
Oh, thank you.
You know, he's never really beaten me.
He hasn't, eh? Well, how about that dreadful child? Surely there's something retarded about a child who can't pass four. Vile things.
We turn now, ladies and gentlemen, to a short plug for our sponsor. Of course, at this reading, it seems we have no sponsor. Someday there will be a real message from a real sponsor. It is alleged. That's radio for you.
Public humiliation. Me wants the toast of America.
Maybe a spot of brandy, Mr. Moore, to soothe your nerves. Say when, Mr. Moore.
When?
Well, Allah be praised.
Just sip the brandy, Mr. Moore. Just sip it.
You know, I wouldn't be surprised if the old girl had been nipping.
Oh. You'd make a nice-looking corpse.
You mean that huge, monolithic monstrosity?
Oh, this is the end. I'm leaving.
It'll be a moral victory.
My dear Miss Clemour, if you would lay across my knee as they do in the cinema...
What?
It would spare us a struggle. However, if you won't...
Oh!
One, yes.
Oh.
She's fainted. Oh, Bill, help me get her upstairs.
Smelling salts, lots of them.
Uncle Cecil, you didn't.
Well, would serve the old girl right.
Uncle Cecil, you're a true smith, sweeping girls right off their feet.
Oh, I...
Tonight's program was written by Dick. This is Ty McVeigh speaking. Cheerio. This is the National Broadcasting Company.
Please crawl beneath the bridge.
was the service economy, being clever and charming. For that, we heard number four on the charts this week, The Busy Band with Beneath the Brits. Louis Burke was still with you here on the Hit Parade, and since I haven't left, you haven't left, and they haven't left, they're still a threat to our nation.
At night, Buddhism is a much older religion than the Port Red. Is it true or false? Do you think that's true or false? How would you answer that? True or false? Dr. Harry Hagen's True or False program comes to you tonight from Cincinnati, presented each week by the makers of Williams Shaving Cream, the people who have been making fine shaving preparations for nearly 100 years. That one. Now let me turn you over to your leader, Dr. Harry Hagen.
And hello to Cincinnati. And it looks as though Cincinnati is going to come through. We have six determined young gentlemen in the employ of the post office in Cincinnati. Pretty tough to beat. The ladies who are opposing them, members of Cincinnati's League of Women Voters. Mrs. Parsons, we'd like to hear something about your League of Women Voters.
Hello.
Go ahead, recite the piece.
Well, it's very nice to be here and to greet you on behalf of the League of Women Voters. I don't know just what to say.
What is it? Might say something about the purpose of your League of Women Voters now in a few brief words.
Well, we all think we're very hard women.
Now I think a word from James Benvey, number one post office clerk, is in order. Captain Benvey, how do you feel about your chances tonight?
I think we can master this one pretty well. The best team will win.
Have no regrets.
Nothing can hold back the male.
Even the female. All right. Thanks, James Benvey. And now let's hear from Gene Trace, our vice president in charge of prizes. Come in, Gene.
Every one of the contestants on True or False tonight gets an attractive Williams gift kit, win or lose. But for the winning team, there's even more. A $5 bill goes to each member of that team. And the grand winner of the entire contest gets the grand prize of $25 in cash. And
Mrs. Edward Parsons, here's tonight's first True or False. Parmesan is an Italian cheese which is usually grated and sprinkled over spaghetti. Is that true or is it false?
True.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's false. That's Paramecium is a tiny animal. Well, that's one down for the Women's League of Voters. Jimmy, children often have to eat dessert. Is that true or is it false?
What's that?
Children often have to eat dessert.
That's false.
Correct. You know what a milksop is?
No, sir.
You don't?
Well, I've never heard of one.
Never heard of one, a gentleman says. Well, Jimmy, I know you're not a milksop because it's a slang term meaning a crybaby or a sissy.
Well, I wouldn't even know anything about
that. That's the boy. All right, next on the list is Mrs. Morris Edwards. Mrs. Edwards, if you keep a colander on your desk, you never have to ask the date. True or false?
False.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's false. That calendar should give the desired information. All right, this is just Mr. Graydon Gallagher. I'll call you Gallagher for short, I guess. Wait for sparring for you. Now warm, my son.
Just a little bit.
All right. Milk is an absolutely essential ingredient in soft custard. Is that true or is it false?
That is true.
Correct. Custard is a mixture of milk, eggs, and sugar, which is either boiled or baked. All right. So far, going along pretty well. All right. Now we have Mrs. Earl Galbraith. Mrs. Galbraith, white eggs have higher food value than brown eggs. Is that true or is it false?
False.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's false. There's absolutely no difference between them and food value. And that brings up to the fellow here, James R. Dabrowski. Beg pardon?
Dabrowski.
Oh, you are the Dabrowski.
Right.
Well, Jimmy, I'll call you Jimmy. Don't mind that. Jimmy, do you think a man should be boss in his own home?
Absolutely. I know one thing. I'm the boss in my home.
Good boy. Well. Good boy.
Anyone that isn't boss in their own home should wear a petticoat.
Is that so?
That's right.
Any man that isn't boss in his own home should wear a petticoat, as you say.
Absolutely.
Correct. Mrs. Gilbert Bettman. Is that right, Mrs. Bettman?
That's right.
Mrs. Bettman, is it true or false there will ever be a woman president of the United States?
Why, absolutely. I don't know why not. We have a member of the cabinet.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's false. I don't know about that. Anyway, Alois Ealing, is that right?
That's right.
Say, Alois, are you married?
No, I'm not.
Correct. Well, why is it that people usually cry at weddings, you know, friends and relatives and so forth, you know?
Well, they must be crying for someone, but what I like to know before I marry is who they're crying for.
Who they're married? Well, I don't know. You got me there. Mrs. Morris Edwards. Mrs. Edwards, True or false, the Battle of Jutland, or Jutland, J-U-T-L-A-N-D, was a famous naval battle of...
True.
It's false. That's the Battle of Jutland was a naval engagement of the World War, fought May 31st, 1916, between British and German fleets. Jimmy, do you think a husband should hand over his pay envelope to his wife every week?
Well, I haven't that much experience, but just give her so much, and if she asked where the rest was, I'd say insurance or something was deducted. Things didn't go just right, well, I'd take things in my own hands.
Correct, which directs the course of a vessel. True or false, it's the thickness of the feathers that makes water roll off a duck's back.
I didn't understand the question.
It's the thickness of the feathers that makes water roll off a duck's back.
False.
False. Of course it is. The statement is false. It's the oil on the feathers that makes water roll off a duck's back. Now, you know, you may be surprised to hear it's a lot the same way with a man's whiskers. How about a gene trace? Is that true or is it false?
That's true, Dr. Hagen. The sebaceous glands in a man's skin give out oil that gradually covers his whiskers. So in the morning, you can be sure there's a coating of oil on your beard that you've got to get rid of before you can make much headway. But make sure you get Williams Shaving Cream.
Mrs. William Hessler, if you hear two bells on board an American ship, you may safely assume that it's either 12:30, 4:30, or 8:30 o'clock. That's true. Oh, I'm sorry. It's false. You should know that it's either 1, 5, or 9 o'clock. James Benny is next. Jimmy, the flag of an admiral in the United States Navy consists of a blue background with three stars forming a triangle in the center. Is that true or is it false?
It's false.
Correct. That's a vice admiral's flag. The admiral's flag has four stars. Mrs. Parsons, the Europa is Germany's largest ship. Is that true or is it false?
It's true.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's false. The Bremen is larger than the Europa. Graydon Gallagher, do you think a wife should pick up after her husband, you know, socks, shoes, so forth?
Why, absolutely. If the wife didn't pick it up, who's going to pick it up?
That's right. Mrs. Edwards, the United States Naval salute for visiting royalty is 18 guns.
That's true.
I'm sorry. It's 21 guns. 21 guns for visiting royalty. Jimmy, plagiarism is a method for converting wood pulp into silk.
That is false.
Correct. You know what plagiarism is?
I don't believe I do.
Don't believe it, though. Well, Mrs. Galbraith. Mrs. Galbraith, the Irish Free State is a member of the League of Nations. True or false?
False.
I'm sorry. It is true. It was admitted to the League in 1923. Now, Captain Bendry and you and your partner here, Alois Ealing, are appearing against this, Mrs. Bettman, one woman. Jimmy, how do you feel?
Well, I feel like I'm on the last of the Mohicans.
Last, all right, now here. Jimmy Bendry, using the mails to defraud is a federal offense, true or false?
That's true.
That's correct, right you are. Well, well, who's going to win this contest? Mrs. Gilbert Bettman. Mrs. Bettman, penology is a science which that treats with crime. Is that true or is it false? Penology is a science that treats with crime.
I should say that were true.
Oh, I am sorry it's false. I'm sorry it's false, and that means that we've won tonight's contest. Yes, sir, I think Jimmy needs a lot of applause. He's a fine, upstanding young man. He's going to go far in the Postal Service. Good luck and congratulations, Jimmy.
Well, best team won.
The best team. Very good, Jimmy. Did a fine job. Now, next Monday evening, we'll find us back in New York City when candid camera enthusiasts tangle with the girls from New Jersey. Boy, that ought to be good.
To enter a team for True or False, here's all you do. Organize an interesting team. That's all there is to it.
And now, to round off tonight's show, we'll have to give a True or False to Gene. As Gene Trace. Maybe we will remove all trace of Gene after this one. I don't know. Is it true or false that William Howard Taft succeeded...
Is it true or false that... William Howard Taft.
All you have to do now, you don't be alibying. Is it true or is it false? Don't give me any stalling now. Come on, Gene.
Well, I'm trying to get a hint from someone. Well, I'll say true, Dr. Hagen.
Well, I'm not going to say whether you're right or you're wrong.
Let me see. Dr. Hagen, when was William Howard Taft president?
I won't tell you. But something tells me that question is going to come up again next week. So listen and then you'll find out the answer.
Before you set me
was number two on the charts this week by the Calgary Stampeders. But like the Highwaymen always said, there can be only one number one. And this week, number one on the charts is taking us from Morning Magic to A Gray Afternoon by Jolliver, Arkansas. That's all the fat lady wrote. And what some great writing she did this week on the Cashbox Hot Hit Top 10 list for the week of this week. Folks, I sure have had a great time tonight on the program, and I hope you have as well. And listeners, I promise that never again will the memories of some shady encounters in hotel elevators or the washrooms at the Screen Actors Guild direct the course of this fine program. Besides, I'm pretty sure it was Bonzo this chimp who came up with trickle-down economics anyway. Listeners, this is Louis Bergquist for the WDLW signing off. Later, boners!
You're on the new merry-go-go-round.
You've been listening to the Louis Bergquist Hit Parade, sponsored in part by Bear Stearns, who want to remind you that when it comes to Reaganomics, it's like the 12 steps. They work if you work them.
Clang, bang, clang, went the big iron door. They put me in a cell with a concrete floor. Nine other men in that cell with me, moaning their fate with destiny. Clang, bang, clang. Early in the morning at the crack of dawn, they wake us to the tune of a bong, bong, bong. A line of pajamas, mushing hard bread, drinking black coffee with that noise in my head. Clang, 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 clang. The judge said to me, now, boy, you've had it.
The power of the presidency is often thought to reside within you, the American people, and in your trust. Your trust is what gives a president his power, and you must have been thinking, well, others of you, I guess, were thinking, what's he doing in the White House? One thing's still upsetting me, however. I'm often accused of creating even more doubt and confusion, and it's true, there's been enough of that. Why doesn't he tell us what's happening? Covert operations, sketchy reports, or possibly even erroneous statements, which would then have to be corrected, secret bank accounts and diverted funds. I have asked Vice President Bush. The board is convinced that the president doesn't want the full story to be told. I'm genuinely honored that he's given up. No ifs, ands, or buts. Well, the reason I haven't spoken to you before now is this. Let's face it. As president, I can't escape responsibility. That makes sense. Much has been said about my management style. The way I work is hiding out, and that will continue to be my pledge to you. You know, by the time you reach my age, you take the good, you take the bad, you take them both, and there you have the facts of life. The facts of life. And the Lord willing, that's exactly what I intend to do. Good night, and God bless you.